Let's open our Bibles this evening, and we are in the book of 2 Peter, and we left off in the first chapter and the seventh verse. And I just thank God what an invitation that we were given last week in the fullness of faith. We read through the fifth and seventh verse the invitation into all the fullness of God, faith. And brothers and sisters, we can have all the knowledge, but if we lack the love of God, it's not going to profit us anything. And last week, I think that God brought out very sweetly in His Scripture that those seven ingredients added to our faith will have us be a fruitful Christian. Don't want to just know it by the grace of God. I want to live it. And I've been encouraged to say many times, it is important, the knowledge of God. It's vitally important. But it's what we live. It's Christ living in me. It's Christ in me is the hope of glory. So I would hope to God that that would be the thrill of your heart, is knowing that Jesus is here and that He's growing in your life and He's for you. He's for you more than anybody you've ever known. I hope you have loving parents. I hope you have a loving spouse. But you have a loving Father who saw you from the beginning of beginning, and He laid out a plan just for you. So, praise be to God. Let's pick it up in the eighth verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, speaking of those seven ingredients added to faith, what a precious thing. It makes us fruitful. And notice here, this is something and only something that He supplies. And He supplies everything. And there's nothing of ourselves, brothers and sisters, that we can bring here. The only thing that we would ever bring are filthy rags. Our self-righteousness is reputable to God. We know that it's His work. Without the working power of His love, the Word of God tells us it profits us nothing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Father is looking for the saint who is as the Sea of Galilee. I always appreciated that. It did sink into my heart and mind. Brother Hill used to say it many times. The Sea of Galilee teems with life. The fishes are bountiful. That's what He wants in our life. He wants a fruitful vessel. Praise God. And in that fruitful vessel, you'll find the fertile Shulamite, who is the one that will win him. Christ Jesus is looking for a fertile wife. Going on with verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, it's speaking here of blindness. And this word blindness means a couple things. It means without understanding. And it also speaks of smoke. And unfortunately, as I was thinking about this, I've met quite a few Christians that seem to be all smoke and no fire. What do you think of that? As they say, no substance and just vapors. And the reason is, brothers and sisters, is because there is no vision. The Word of God clearly tells us that without a vision, the people perish. Visiting with a dear sister, I remembered something my dad always used to tell me, whether it was in education, in sports. He said, son, you have to see it to be it. You have to have that vision. There has to be that goal that is set before you. And praise be to God, the Lord showed us what that goal needs to be. It's the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it just so happens that He saw and counted you worthy to receive that message. If you've been here for any amount of time, we are persuaded. Woe is me if I preach not that gospel. And praise God, that present gospel, that present truth that Brother Paul was encouraged to bring to us, and that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride, and His wife hath made herself ready. And without a vision, we will never get there. And specifically here, I want to point out that this vision that it's speaking of is that these ones that are not fruitful, the problem is that they can only see things that are near. They can only see things that are right in front of them. They have no vision to things that are far off. How about the eternities to come? How about, as we've heard over and over, not having the vision of the payday that is someday? Eye is not seen, nor ear is heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love Him. Absolutely. But as we've said many times before, it didn't stop there, because we ran into but God. Isn't that wonderful? But God. And but God, through His wonderful Spirit, lets me see afar off, and it lets me glory in the man that I hope to be. That's the vision that I want. By the grace of God, we studied that vision of what Paul was placed in, where he was seen and glorying in the man that he hoped to be. We have to have that vision, brothers and sisters. That finished work. The masterpiece. We've been encouraged that many different sermons. The pattern that's being woven. The ones that will win Him. And that pattern is exact. And that pattern is always going to be one pattern. And that's the very image of Him. And it's only going to happen from faith to faith. From glory to glory. It's only going to happen in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord that it is truly so beyond. But yet it's so simple. And throughout the Word of God, He reveals it over and over, lest we forget. And as we're going to read about Brother Peter here, he's going to bring you back into remembrance over and over and over again. And as we were, I believe, rejoicing on Sunday, did you want to just stop at one love letter to somebody that really loved you? Or did you want as many as you could get? I told you, man, I guess I was greedy. I was a hog. Keep sending them on. I want to keep reading how much you love me. Yeah, maybe I am insecure. I don't think it's insecure. I'm just needy. I'm needy of His love. And praise God, He's one that's all sufficient and ready to just pour it on more than we could ever even want it. But this is the vision to come, brothers and sisters. This is the vision of the bride adorned. The question is here, do we see her? And do we long to be her? Do we long to take the place that will be hers? And think about this. I hope that whether it's in your heart, whether it takes you to shut your eyes and ask, Lord, give me this vision, but the place that will be hers alongside of Him. Yes, in the midst of the throne by the grace of God, but how about more in the midst of His arms? Really. That's my love. That's who I want to be with. Jesus Christ, who's revealed Himself to me as the lover of my soul. And I am thankful, brothers and sisters, that I am a hopeless romantic. I am. And I hope to be the hopeless romantic with Jesus. But it's the furthest thing from hopeless, because it's the only real thing there ever was or is or will be. And that's His love. It's the greatest reality that there will ever be. But notice here in this verse as well, too, what keeps us from this vision, what keeps us from this type of relationship that Jesus Christ has called us to from the very beginning. And what is it? Our self-righteousness. It's self. This is what's always going to defeat me from going on with God. I can blame anything. I can blame everything. I can make every excuse of why I'm not going on with God. But as you've heard before, the buck stops right here. He didn't ask you to hold it fast for me. He said, you hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Is it worth something to you? I hope it is. I believe it is, or you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday evening. Absolutely. And we know that this is what He has called us to. See, forgetting that we've been purged from our old sins, is something that will defeat us. Long ago, completely forgotten, all by grace, how destructive the thoughts of works can be. Self-righteousness, brothers and sisters, will always hold us back. But the grace of God, I'm always so thankful about it. It just lets me go on in. Doesn't it? Door's always open. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I had some hard times in believing God in different things. But I'm so thankful that, oh wretched man that I am, the moment that I look up, I knew that I saw the door was open. Come boldly in here, son. You need this. I'm not going to get clean out here and then come on in there. I hope we understand that. And I hope we understand that about this meeting. People need a meeting like this. They need to hear the Word of God. If somebody's wanting to hear the Word of God and they step into this place, I hope you would rejoice. No matter what manner of life they came out of, or maybe still bondaged into, how they look. Maybe they didn't even really know any better of how to maybe dress to come to church. You know what? I don't care. I'm confident God would encourage your heart of respecting His house. But you know what? You're never going to get there until you get in His house. So, let's have the love of God, brothers and sisters. And maybe I say that because who knows if he tarry what might come in. Huh? You might be entertaining angels, huh? Ooh, every hair is standing up on my head. Oh, what God wants us, sees for us to be in Him. All right, verse 10, we got to get going. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Isn't that wonderful? Know it is what he's saying here. We have to believe that before the foundation of the world, as he said, he called us out. He chose us, knowing that our hearts would believe him. And what he's asking us here, pleading with us, make it sure. Make it sure. Stand in it. Do not be tossed to and fro. Believe and rest in the Scriptures. When God says something, it's what it is. And He means what He says. And God cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. And when He tells you that He's absolutely for you and that He won't withhold anything good for your life, when He says that He'll perfect that which concerns you, when He says that perfect love, my perfect love, the only love there is, casts out all fear, believe Him. When He says, know it, that all things work together for good to them that love God, rejoice in it. Relish in that one. Say, thank you, dear God. This may look this way. I might have my friends, as old Job had his three friends, telling me, what did you do? I just love Jesus. And I know it's working together for my good. What do you think of that? I do. I love Him. He's calling me to that wonderful purpose of communion with Him. But we believe and we rest in these Scriptures, brothers and sisters. And yea, as the Word of God says, the deep things of God. And so wonderful He chose to reveal those to us through Brother Paul. And it says here that ye will not fall. And I want us to kind of jump ahead maybe in the study because I think it's very important that we continue to bring this out. The Holy Spirit's impressing upon my heart. Let's jump over to chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. That we won't fall from our own steadfastness. Now think of this. As also in all his epistles, this is speaking of Brother Paul now. This is the last bits that the Holy Spirit speaks through Brother Peter. You wonder that magnificent change where it came from. He began to follow Paul as he followed Christ. Yes, he did. I do understand very clearly by the grace of God that Brother Peter's place is ruling over those 12 tribes. Praise the Lord. He will not have the place of the bride. That wasn't for him. But praise be to God, there was still a pattern that he was told to follow. And he followed Paul as he followed Christ in the extent of the faith that was to be revealed into this brother's life. There wasn't a different way. There's but one way. And it was the way of grace. And praise God, look what he says here. As also in all his epistles, all of them, speaking in them of these things. See, Paul never spoke anything that wasn't of these things. And what he's talking about here is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mysterious things. And as he says here, in which are some things hard to be understood. But it didn't just stop there and say, well, they're just hard to be understood, so let's forget about them. Let's go on to something easy. No, hard to be understood, which they or to those that are unlearned. And we're going to go over this. That means ignorant. Ignorant in what? Ignorant in the Scriptures. And unstable. That means that they don't have a standing. When you're ignorant in the Scriptures, you won't have a standing. You don't understand how to stand and withstand. Because when we understand the Scriptures, the Word of God tells us that's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's faith. It's believing. So simply, I really believe, just believing in how much Jesus loves me, how much the Father loves me, that they're always for me. And if my Father, who is God, is for me, who could be against me? What that means is that there couldn't be anybody against, because there's no power but of God. That's it. So I know when it says it's finished, that means the game is over. It's done. It's won. Now, the test now is, am I going to believe that? And that Father that loves me so, that there's a perfect plan, there's a perfect path. I don't go by sight. I move by faith. And I understand that it's Him that's moving me through. So, the ones that it's hard for are unlearned and unstable. Rest. That's not rest without a W. That's rest, waved, whatever it might be there. But that means to twist or to contort. Uh-huh. See, they're twisted. They're contorted. And why? As they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Let the Spirit reveal the Scriptures to you. Rest in them. Stand in them. Receive the depth of the truth of the Word of God, and it will cause you to stand and to withstand. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also. Listen to this. This is a beware to us. Warning. Being led away with the error of the wicked shall fall from your own steadfastness. That's the only way you're ever going to fall, is in your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Okay. Does this mean that you won't fail? No. You're going to fail. At certain things you will fail. Absolutely. God in His infinite grace is going to have your down setting, isn't He? Not just going to let you sit on uprising. He loves you too much. Absolutely. But what this is talking about is from that truth. If you'll settle into the Word of God, you will not fall from this message. You won't. Believe Him. Believe that message that He has for you. Take hold of it. Let it be your everything. Rely on Him. That it is His work. That you are His workmanship. That yes, Lord, the time that I do fail, I'm still relying on, behold the Lamb. Devil, you told me I sinned, but yet I'm looking at the cross. And He became sin for me who knew no sin. Isn't that awesome? I love it. I'm so thrilled. I'm clean. I'm righteous. Holy. Give it up. Give it up. Hallelujah. Lord, it's yours. So This is what he is getting at here, to believe and rest in the Scriptures and let these roots of grace and knowledge grow deep. That tree that's planted by the water. Let them grow deep in there. Never to be moved. Never to fall from this truth and calling. Praise God. All right, moving along. Verse 11. For so an entrance. This is exciting here. This verse 11. Pay attention. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this is referring back to 1 Peter 4:18, where it says, scarcely saved. You remember when we talked about that? The skin of your teeth model? I got into heaven, whoo, you know. And those were the ones that didn't build in their life, as we saw, the gold, the silver, the gold, and the precious stone. But they were building the wood, hay, and stubble. Now the wood, hay, and stubble burned. But we're thankful that we know that they didn't. They were still saved. Hallelujah. Lot wasted his whole life. But thanks be to God, the Lord reminded us, just Lot. Yes, yes. And when we rest again in that, doesn't that just cause you to love the Lord? It doesn't cause me to want to go out and sin willfully that grace may abound. It doesn't. It's the absolute opposite. It's, Lord, I love you so. You're so faithful to me. Would you please come and really live in my life so you can will and do of your good pleasure in here? Yeah. And it's the best time. It's the sweetest time. And it's a marvelous thing to watch, because I understand that's really who I am. That's who I am. But it's this man that gets to observe the new man, praise the Lord, and what God can do. How marvelous. I hope it's enlightening like that in your life. I'm so thankful to God for it. But see, we need not be getting in by the skin of our teeth. And what this is talking about here is we have an entrance. And the Lord really got me into this verse. And it was so precious how he started opening up some of these words. And this is just the Holy Spirit. It's just what he does. It's not like you look at something, well, I'm going to go in and analyze every verse because I want to get it into my mind and I got to make this thing complicated. It's what God does. And he just specifically says, well, son, we're going to go here and we're going to go look at these things. That word entrance, brothers and sisters, it means the holy of holy entrance. Yep. Beyond the veil. That's the entrance that we have. Now, we know that that's been taken away for us. Praise God. And we can go right into that holy of holies. And then the word ministered means it's been revealed unto you. You have no excuse. You're without excuse. You know it. Praise God. He's revealed that to you. And here it is. That word abundantly. How wonderful. That means the greatest riches. The exceeding riches. So look what we have here. We have an entrance into the Holy of Holies that we have been ministered. He's pleading to us to get on in there. And it's of the greatest riches there ever could be. Come on now. Really. This is joint heirship entrance. This is the better resurrection. This is the sun glory that he's asking us to have here. And I think about how sweet you are, Lord. How he says it so differently over and over and over and over. Really, what a lover. He never stops them love letters to us, does he? He's precious. He's after us. I hope that we would be in tune to wanting to see these things more and more. All right, let's go on to verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always, not sometimes, not when on every fourth Sunday, always. Always. Yeah. This is our life, brothers and sisters. This is what we have. Peter used to come together to have some good fellowship. And hey, Lord, like I said, it was the Lord was showing me it was the handshake and a hug. That's good. I want divine love out of you, Peter. You get in here and you worship. You draw nigh unto me and kiss me. There's a difference, and there's a great difference. And God is dealing with us to understand and to rely on what His love is. So, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Oh, look at that. Well, I already know that. I've already heard that. I always used to feel badly for Brother Hill when I'd hear different ones say, well, he preaches the same old thing. Don't feel bad for me. And you know what? Brother Hill never wanted me to feel bad for him. Greatest compliment you could ever give me. Now I pray it's exciting. I pray God will bring it out in a way that will grip your heart. But there's but one truth. There's but one gospel. And by His grace, we're going to always... And I pray to God that you know it. But we're going to get in there and we're going to know it more, better, more glorious. We're going to have a more clear vision of it. It's going to burn brighter. And it's going to be glorious. And it's all going to be only one way, and that's by grace. All right. But I'm going to always put you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Isn't that awesome? See, we're starting to see truly this wonderful Paul growth in Peter. I've heard people say this as well too. I've heard this bridal message over and over and over. I've heard that same old call. Well, if that is really your heart's attitude to it, if it tires you to hear it, I'll guarantee you, you are not ready to wed Jesus Christ. You're not. That's it. All right? Now, I understand. Sometimes we will go through stretches of great desert. Absolutely. We will go through times, brothers and sisters, we will not feel a thing. You will almost feel dead. I know it. Been there. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's when you need to know the Scriptures. That's when you need to just sit there and say, Lord, I'm being still. I just know that You're God. And in knowing that, I've got it all. And you know what? He'll bring you songs in the night. And He does. He does. Just keep it off of me, Lord, and let me just keep it on You. He'll turn it. But He's trying you. He's going to try your faith. It's planned from the very beginning. God wants the best. He wants His best in you. So, know the plan. Rest in that plan. Help us to be thankful, Lord, for the exceeding riches of Your grace. I could never receive enough love letters from Him. How about you? All right. And then it says the present truth. You'll find that Hebrews 13:9. It's the only doctrine. And that's grace. And specifically, brothers and sisters, the calling of grace, by grace, through grace, in grace, into the midst of His throne. How about that? Is that the present truth that you rejoice in? I pray it is. Hallelujah. This is what He's brought to us. And may it never grow old. All right, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. This is Paul talking about as long as he is in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So again, he's going back to this remembrance. Here's our sufficient witness the second time. How is he going to stir them up? He's going to get a band. No? Puppets. Boards. Screens. You know, and praise God. However he's preached, I there and do rejoice. But the latte machine at the front of the church, and don't get excited, we're not getting one. But that's not how he stirred them up. See, he was looking for the real deal. The eternal, the everlasting, and it's in remembrance of this glorious gospel, the gospel of the glory, brothers and sisters. Thank God that we have it. Thank God we have it in song. Thank God He has caused our heart to want this. But this stir up is so precious because in the Greek it literally means to awaken out of sleep. That's what this means. It's not just to get you excited. It's actually to wake you up, to be alert, to be alive, to be watchful, specifically as the Word of God tells us, loving His appearing, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. Hallelujah. Always rousing us up, encouraging us to win Him. Peter finally, praise God, got the urgency to profess God fully in his life. Up until his final breath, he wanted to praise the Lord, the ministry that God had given to him. And to whom much is given, much is required. And that brings us to verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Now he's referring back to the book of John, chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, when Jesus foretold Peter that he would become old, when he would become old, that he would be captured and put to death. It is thought, as we've mentioned earlier, that Peter was crucified. And as he was going to be crucified, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified that way. Please turn me upside down if we're going to have to do it this way. So, man, glorying God in it all. You'd think, how horrible, wouldn't you? How awful. But yet the Lord loved him so much. He knew that that's what his life needed. I mean, I can't imagine. See, only God could do something like that. See, man would sit there and just judge and say, oh, well, if that's a God of mercy, I don't want to have anything to do with him. If that's a God of mercy, why would he allow those martyrs to be thrown on those rocks and just boil? God help us from our wicked thoughts. I hope you understand how wicked that could be. This is the God of love we're talking about. And if He so chooses to slay me, though will I trust Him. And if He causes us to go that way, I would hope that we would look at the glory to come. Where are we? Is this real? Does this mean what it says to our hearts? But praise God, Peter knew that this was going to happen. If you go and read that little section, after he says that, what's going to happen? The key was two words at the very end of it. Follow me. It was never going to happen unless he would follow the Lord. Now he put that before Peter's life. He told Peter without a doubt, they're going to capture you and they're going to kill you. And Peter saw and knew how those Romans would kill people. There wasn't any doubt in Peter's mind how awful that could be. And I'm sure the enemy would come in there at times and try to make him fear. But the choice was laid out before Peter. And the Lord told him, he said, follow me. There was still the choice of yielding, wasn't it? It was there all the time. Peter had to make the choice. Are you going to follow me? Even though you know, son, it's going to be the way of the cross. You're going to have to go and take up your cross and follow me. He heard these things. They were coming true. He knew what the Word of God was building in his life. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell us that if we expect to reign with him, we're going to have to suffer with him. That's it. If we're ever expecting to be glorified together with him, you're going to have to jointly suffer with him. It's just going to be that way. You can't get around it. You can't wrestle with God. He's got a plan. He's got a perfect plan. It's only in one place. It's in His Son. And if we're going to ever grow and become into the very image of His Son, it's going to be from glory to glory. And there was no greater glory that was ever bestowed upon that wondrous Son until he took the cross. My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How that pleased the Father, that he was obedient unto death. And not just death, he became sin. Every sin you've sinned, every sin any man has ever sinned, he became that sin. No, you can't fathom that. I can't either. But what I can, it's beyond. So it's going to be that way. And what a sweetness to this dear brother in putting off the tabernacle and said, Lord, but I know I'm going to receive a body like unto your glorious body. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on. Verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He's really getting after him, isn't he? He's bringing it home. Man, we got to remember this, don't we? Oh, hallelujah. It's written right down there. This do in remembrance of me. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yes. Praise God. Third time, the conviction was great. This was just like Paul encouraging Timothy to build up the brothers and sisters in like precious faith. He gave diligence to this word. He knew that woe was him if he preached not the gospel. Yes. Praise God. Follow me as I follow Christ. One pattern. Praise God. Thanks be to God. This brother became so humble and meek, he surrendered under the hand of God and realized that I'm not the greatest disciple. I'm just an elder like you guys. But there's one thing I do know. That dear brother Paul was given something. And we better pay attention. And not only we better pay attention, I'm going to always, every time, put you in remembrance of it. And I think he got his point across. The Holy Spirit did a wonderful job of giving out the Word of God. So, he recognized the famine. There was a breaking in his heart. I can hear this in these words. That there would be a famine for the Word of God. A famine for the treasure that he had been given. And I think of this. Remember, he never thought of these things. He never had this kind of love in the very presence of Jesus Christ, did he? Not even close. For 3.5 years, he dwelt with the I Am. Isn't that amazing? In the presence, the testimony, the Word. He held the Word. Kissed the Word. But yet, in the presence, this never came out. It only came out, brothers and sisters, when he was infilled with the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. That's right. We can talk about these things. We can hear about these things. But it's not going to be revealed, the fullness, without the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. And then I'm going to tell you, that's not a guarantee. A yielded vessel. A willing vessel. He chose Barnabas because he was a man filled with the Holy Ghost? No. Full. I love that, don't you? Full means tank's full, it's running over. My wife has to always tell me, honey, don't put that much gas in the tank. You're kind of lazy, you don't want to come back here again, but don't put the gas on the street. But I think about that just as it's coming out. I'm thinking, Lord, I want that coming out of my vessel like that. Pouring it forth, praise God, letting it bubble over. The agape love. This brother was not there just to lead the sheep, to feed the sheep, but to lead the sheep. All right, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Even at this time, brothers and sisters, there were false prophets. There were ones that were false teachers, just as there are today, claiming that Jesus' resurrection and return were fables, just as they do today. And you know, have you even heard this claiming with the historians even? They even try to say that Jesus never existed. I've heard shows and lectures where the only reason they'll even acknowledge it is because of Josephus. But yet Socrates and all of these other ones, oh, I found a little bone of a nowhere. And that had to be so-and-so. Came out of monkey slime. I don't know where it came. But I'll accept that. And I have this. And yet I'm going to ignore it, huh? Come on. Oh, if it wasn't so true, they have eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. And I still wouldn't want to see them go to hell. As angry as it makes me, it's still the sadness. But truly, before God, I hope we see the soul that He died for that life just as He died for yours. Remember that. But see, Peter was an eyewitness to the power of His coming, the power of His life, the power of His death, the power of His resurrection. Peter saw all these things. But most importantly for Peter was the power of His might, the Holy Spirit, that caused the transformation in his life, that brought in the mind of Christ, that Peter could not just be holy, he could actually have the power to live holy, to live boldly, and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 17 and 18. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now Peter heard this voice as did James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Moses and Elijah. They saw him vanish. And they saw God say, hey, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. See, they were still, again, these were the guys that were right there with Jesus. And sure, it was exciting to see Moses and Elijah and all that. But God was saying, you're still not getting it, guys. It's my Son. This is it. This is the Word. I am the King of Kings. I love it. I'm thankful. Someday by the grace of God, yeah, I'll rejoice with Moses and Elijah and praise God. I'm there to see Jesus. There to see Jesus. Praise the Lord, I'm thankful my dad's there, my grandpa's there. I've got cousins, I've got lots of loved ones that are there. But I want to be with Jesus. And because we want to be with Jesus, because He first loved us, there's going to be not just a reunion, but a union. Oh, a perfect unity of spirit and in spirit that He's asking us to enter into now, that's going to be on there, that is going to be beyond anything I could ever imagine. We're going to celebrate in a way, brothers and sisters, that will never end. Exceeding, that's ever increasing riches and glory. You know, as you see the Grand Canyon, it's amazing. I encourage you to go see it. It's awesome how expansive it is and beautiful and the colors. And you can sit there a long time. But there was nothing like the very first time you see that thing. It really wasn't. I tell you that. If anybody told you something different, I don't know if they're telling you the truth. It's amazing. It's just, whew. But see, with God, with His Son, it's beyond that. It's going to be amazing. I don't know if we could speak for how many millions of years when we see Him. I don't know. I don't. I don't even imagine. They say, I can't imagine. No, I can't even. You just stop. you know. But it's going to get brighter and more glory and exceeding riches at an increasing rate. And I don't understand it, but God, I just believe it, it's you. That's our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, so here they were. Hear Him. God left no doubt. He said, it's not in any of these vessels. It's in the voice of my Son. It's in the Word. Hear Him. And listen to this. Listen to what He's saying here. God the Father gave Jesus honor and glory. You see the enemy, what he tries to do all the time? He tries to diminish Jesus. Oh, yes, he does. Always. It's all he's about. He's divine. Hallelujah. Yeah. Very God of very God. Always tries to put him down a little bit. We'll talk about the Father until we can get Jesus completely out of the way. Remember, you can't even believe in God. Remember our Bible study? You can't even believe in God without Jesus Christ. You can think you can. You can think all the things you want to think. But your thoughts are foolishness to God. And the Word of God tells me that you can't even believe in God without Jesus Christ. See, I always knew I couldn't approach Him. I always knew that He wouldn't hear me. I always knew that I couldn't go to heaven without accepting Jesus Christ. One day He showed me in Scripture, and it's right there. You can't even believe in God without Jesus Christ. Oh, we believe in the same God. No, we don't. Oh, no, we don't. And that's not just being angry and cantankerous. That's just saying, man, I'm standing. This is what I'm standing for. You're talking about my Father, and you're talking about my love. And I get pretty sensitive with that because of His love in me. All right, so we listen to that. He said He put everything in His Son, and He did. It says here, the excellent glory gave glory to Jesus. Jesus, the name above all names. Now, let's hurry along. 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Oh, praise God. What's so beautiful here, and we'll make this quick, is even more than seeing Him. Stay with me on this. Even more than seeing Him. Even more than audibly hearing the voice of God, it's the written Word. It's the written Word. See, Peter's saying here, even though I can tell you the witness and I can substantiate with my own eyes that I saw Him, that I heard Him, that I touched Him, the greatest thing that could ever tell you about Him, that could validate Him, the most real thing that you'll ever have is right here. See, this is Jesus. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He always does that which is right. This is it. He wants the very best. He gave us the very best. If the very best was seeing Him physically or hearing Him audibly, it would have been that way. But it's not, because it's the way of faith. Yeah. See, it all connects back to His plan. And His plan is all love. And the way that He says it's going to be in love is it's got to be faith. Oh, yes. It's got to be faith. The exceeding abundant is all in His Word. And brothers and sisters, we have everything in His Word. We lack nothing. It's not in what I see. It's not in what I experience. It's the Word of God. And that's what we need to settle down into. That's what gets us off track. We want to feel something. I've heard people say, well, I pled with God. I want to feel something, God. I got to see something. Well, I don't know if He's going to work that way. But I do know the way He does work, and that's faith. That if you'll just believe Him at His Word, you will see something. If you'll believe Him at His Word, you will feel something. It's called the Holy Spirit. It just is. And there's no feeling like it. It'll come in, and as you're starting to complain and fuss and thinking you're in the desert land, He'll tap you on the shoulder and said, hey, did you notice the fountain that's been flowing here all the time? Come on. Just take it like it is, huh? But He left, praise God, no doubt that this is how He set it up. But praise God, I take comfort from this, dear brother, that he was encouraged by the Holy Spirit to write this to us. That Peter had no advantage with Christ by seeing him with his eyes. And he actually proved that. Peter proved that to us so sweetly, because when he saw Christ with his own eyes and he could hear Christ's voice with his own ears, that's when he was the utter total failure. Thank you, Peter. What do you think of that? It's true. Come on. Look at the example God gives us. I've heard it. Well, if I would have just lived with Jesus. No. Thank God I'm living now. I'm going to live with Him forever. I'm already seated there. Huh? And He's offering me a greater glory. That's awesome stuff. Well, if we'll just settle down and believe Him. But it was after Christ Jesus departed and empowered him with the Holy Spirit, Peter began to live by faith and love. That's when the power was truly unleashed in Brother Peter's life. And brothers and sisters, that's what we have today. Let's finish it up in 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. See, man didn't will God to talk. Remember, there's no one that goes after him. There's no one that does good. There's no one that seeks him. All done wicked, awful, sinful. That's what you are. Okay? He had to call you. Praise the Lord. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I pray that that would be us, that we would be moved and speak of the Holy Ghost. But what this is getting at here is that this is not speaking truly of private interpretation. This is really speaking of origin. And what I mean by origin is where the Word came from. And the Word of God has always come from one place, and that's from God. It comes from God. Right? And when we understand that it comes from God, it's done. You're not going to do it this way, and we're not going to say it came this way. And all. See, when it comes from God, there's but one way. One way. That's it. There's one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I put it all in my Son. We're not going to go out here and fight about it. We're going to go right back into the Word of God. We're going to rightfully divide it by grace. And that's where it is. See, it didn't come from man. It didn't come from angels. It didn't come from prophets. But it was spoken through His chosen vessels via the Holy Spirit. And thank God that it's not man's wisdom. My goodness. I'm looking at the debauchery that we have. I'm sorry, I have to say this. I mean, look at our elected officials. I was telling somebody, I've lived for 43 years. I don't even know people like that. And yet we elect them into office. Hoo-wee. See what seeking power and fame and money. That's what you get. Yeah. Thank God we're getting out of here. There are some fringe benefits just about loving the Lord. And one of them is, it's getting to be quite a hole, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Sad in a way, but see, there's your Word, and it told you it was going to be like that. So don't fret. All right. This is God's Word. This is not just another belief. But the one faith. And the call of the Word of God is to study, brothers and sisters, to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. The need to know the Word of God. The need to be able to wield the sword properly. And as the Word of God says, speaking the truth in love. Not speaking a truth in love. Not speaking some truths in love, or plural, or whatever, but speaking the truth in love. There's one. Always know that. Stand in that. There's not many faiths, there's but one. Speaking the truth in love.
that we may grow up into Him in all things. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your wonderful fellowship. Thank You for that Holy Spirit that we have asked in Your name to come and anoint this time, anoint hearts. Lord, help us to want to seek after You. Draw us to You. Lord, we just thank You for Your faithfulness, Your goodness to us. Encourage these lives, Lord. Let that fervent flame just grow brighter and brighter each day. In Jesus' name, amen.